It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beneduccio. We meet a water hero.
Water is also needed to brush our teeth and take showers. Washing clothes and dishes would be an impossible task without water. Water is very important to me.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. Senators passed a number of bills during their morning floor session yesterday, including one reclassifying counties from 10 divisions based on property value to 5. That bill will also result in a raise for many county employees because of the reclassification. Senators also pushed off a vote on teacher pay raises until their session today, but it was an amendment offered by a Republican senator that broke party lines for both support and opposition. Ashton Mara reports.
Senators approved legislation creating the Overdose Prevention Act, a bill that allows for immunity from some misdemeanor offenses when a person calls for help for him or herself or another during an overdose. Also passed was the Move to Improve Act, calling for 30 additional minutes of activity to be incorporated in a school day, and a bill authorizing the transfer of land between state agencies to build a new veterans nursing home in Beckley. But it was a proposed amendment to the Crime Victims Compensation Fund that divided the Senate, but not necessarily on party lines. The fund is used to reimburse innocent victims of crime who have suffered personal injury and who have incurred out-of-pocket losses as a result of the criminal act. Currently, the state is compensating property owners from the fund who have to clean up illegal meth labs after renting or leasing their space. Republican Senator Mitch Carmichael says the account is suffering because of the lab cleanup costs.
Any money that we spend to compensate victims of crime for assault, battery, the injuries that result from that, the state of West Virginia is reimbursed 60 cents on a dollar. But for crime related to the meth lab cleanup, the federal government reimburses West Virginia zero, nothing. And as a result of that, our Crime Victims Compensation Fund has been depleted from approximately $6 million down, the reports say, around $2 million.
Democratic Senator Brooks McCabe, a real estate agent, disagreed with Carmichael's assessment and opposed the amendment.
These property owners are, in fact, injured. This is not something that is covered by their insurance. If, depending on the unit, that unit in all probability is uninhabitable, they have to put notice into the county, they've got to remediate and clean it up, and it is clearly a cost, in most cases, well exceeding $8,000 to $10,000. And in many cases, it makes the unit uninhabitable on a permanent basis unless it is remediated. From my perspective, the majority of these property owners are not in the position to fund this out of their assets, which means that we are, by not helping them and compensate the damage done to them as a victim, you are in essence taking out, removing the housing stock, just the kind of housing stock that we want to have that's affordable for our residents.
Republican Senator Clark Barnes stood to back McCabe's position, saying just because West Virginia is the only state offering property owners compensation in these instances doesn't mean the state is wrong in doing so.
Now, yesterday we heard the report from the Crime Victims Fund of how the cleanup had grown in the past year, and with the passage, Mr. President, of Senate Bill 6, it is the belief of many that we have certainly made headway in cutting into the meth labs. Now, if we truly believe that we are cutting into the meth labs, it's somewhat hypocritical to vote on the one hand that we're for Senate Bill 6 and then to be for the amendment offered by the senator.
Carmichael, however, stuck to his view that the aid was preventing the state from doing good for other deserving victims.
From a priority perspective, we don't have unlimited money. That's what we do here. We set priorities with limited amounts of funds. And so to the extent that we're going to say a person who was clubbed on a street and suffers enormous economic damage from that could potentially not be compensated because we're paying a landlord to clean up a meth lab. And for those reasons, I just think just a simple priority perspective and saying that, hey, you can cook meth in your property. The landlord doesn't have to pay that degree of diligence that there is a state backup to pay for that. So for those reasons, I would ask that you support this amendment. Thank you.
On a voice vote.
Questions on the adoption of the amendment offered by the senator from Jackson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. I declare the amendment adopted.
The amendment was narrowly adopted. Senate Bill 204 relating to crime victims' compensation awards will be put to a vote by the full chamber today. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
With today being the final day for bills to be approved by their body of origin, the House looked at a bill yesterday that was introduced on the first day, but was put in limbo for the majority of the session due to its controversial nature. As Aaron Payne reports, debate over the Government Fraud Prevention Act lasted until the very end.
House Bill 4001 was introduced on the first day of the session as the False Claims Act. However, opponents of the bill referred to it as the Sue and Settle Bill. The bill offers monetary compensation to whistleblowers who bring forward information regarding fraudulent claims against the government, that is, if the case is successful. Supporters of the bill claimed it would provide taxpayers protection from fraud, while opponents claimed that it would only provide lawyers with plaintiffs. The bill was approved by the Judiciary Committee twice as the bill was sent back after concerns from the business community arose. On the House floor, debate began with Delegate John Schott asking Judiciary Chair Tim Manchin numerous questions about the bill, one of which was how the state could fully benefit financially when adding another party to receive compensation.
What we've added to the law as it currently stands is a way that the person who brings the matter to the attention of the authorities will be compensated and share in the recovery, correct?
What this this action does, or that, or what we have in effect?
By this new statute, if we adopt
this,
it.
Yes, that's correct.
Supporters of the bill said that the benefit was in providing incentive for whistleblowers to come forward who normally wouldn't. After the questioning, delegates spoke both for and against the bill. Delegate Paul Espinoza opposed the bill because of the problems he felt it would cause.
Aside from the removal of the retroactivity clause that even the paid advocate for a major trial lawyers association was unable to defend during the charade of an informational hearing conducted in this chamber, it's still the same proposal that would make it more difficult, if not impossible, for small companies to do business with the state. It's still the same proposal that allows an accuser to pursue a newly created cause of action without first exhausting administrative remedies.
Delegate Steven Skinner and Delegate Manchin supported the bill because they felt the success in other states could be translated to West Virginia.
Let's take a look at the states that have the same or similar laws. California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, and Mr. Speaker, Virginia.
We have not had one of these states repeal their bill. If it were costing them more money than they were taking in, wouldn't somebody have repealed it by now? Doesn't that tell us it's working?
In the end, the majority determined the risks of the bill outweighed the reward, and the bill was rejected by a vote of 42 to 55. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:39. Water donations from across the country have poured into Wyoming County since our original report. The folks in Bud and Alpoca were dealing with contaminated water, running a dark brown at times months before the chemical spill in Charleston. Another donation arrived at Herndon Consolidated School yesterday, but as Jessica Lilly reports, this donation was special.
January 9th, a chemical spill contaminated the water source for more than 300,000 customers in West Virginia's capital city and the surrounding area. A state of emergency was declared, the National Guard was called in to assist with water distribution, and donations arrived from groups across the country. Around that same time, Sarah Haymond was teaching a lesson to her third grade class at Blackshear Elementary in Marion County. Haymond decided the best way to teach about community service was to coordinate a water drive for the folks affected by the chemical spill.
We had a bunch of snow days, and I came back and I started worrying, like, the need for that water wasn't as great. And I wanted it to be something that the kids would be excited about, you know, and really feel like they were doing something good. So I started looking up on the internet, different areas in West Virginia that might need water, and I found the town of Bud.
The state of emergency is still in effect for 9 counties. But for the folks in Bud and Alpoca, about 500 people have been on a boil water advisory since September, and it's not a state of emergency. The Alpoca Water Works system is dated and without an operator. The owner is working to turn the utility over to the Eastern Wyoming County PSD, but it's not a simple sale. While the deal is worked out, residents seem to be caught in the middle, purchasing water for things like drinking, laundry, and cooking for about 6 months.
So I showed the students in my class the pictures that I found on the internet from the sinks and the waters, and they couldn't believe it. I mean, for little kids, it's, you know, it's just something they don't think about, you know, not having water. So they were real excited, and they started to bring in more water after that, and now they fully grasp, you know, what it means to do a community service project and what community service is.
The third graders collected about 65 to 70 gallons of water. The shipment arrived at Herndon Consolidated School on Tuesday. The school has served as a central drop-off place for donations and residents to find relief.
We use water in so many ways. Everybody needs water to live. The average body is made of 65% water. A kid my age needs 8 to 12 cups of water a day. We need water to cook our food and to drink.
That's Mackenzie Fluharty. She's one of several Blackshear Elementary third grade students that contributed to the Bud Water Drive. She's reading from a report that explains the lessons she's learned from the project.
Water is also needed to brush our teeth and take showers. Washing clothes and dishes would be an impossible task without water. Water is very important to me. I can't imagine life without water. I can't imagine going to school without taking a shower. I would feel greasy and dirty. I feel sorry for all the people that were affected in the town of Bud. Thinking about how this may have affected them makes me appreciate water a lot more. I think people need to use the water they have wisely. People take advantage of water and don't understand how important it really is. People should finish drinking what they have before getting more. They should also try to take shorter showers. What would you do if you lost water? Try to remember how important it is. As you take a shower, cook dinner, or just grab a glass of water, think about what life would be like without water. So if you have water that is sealed, please send it into the people that don't. It will help people make you feel like a hero.
Mackenzie Fluharty is a West Virginia water hero, sending relief to the folks of Bud. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
With the state eclipsing the $5 billion mark for tourism revenue in 2012, this week's Travel South Conference in Charleston gave visitors bureaus across the state a chance to cash in and drive even more tourism opportunities to their respective areas. But the conference comes nearly 7 weeks after the spill of thousands of gallons of MCHM into the Elk River by Freedom Industries. Many in the area are worried that the local tourism economy would, much like the water, be left with a tainted reputation. As Dave Mistich reports, Tourism professionals from across the country seemed unfazed by the water crisis while here, and some local professionals believe the stigma of the spill won't last.
To host the conference, we had worked on this for 18 months, and we really felt comfortable, quite honestly, that the group would not start seeing cancellations.
Given the circumstances surrounding the chemical spill and water crisis, West Virginia Division of Tourism Commissioner Betty Carver says she reached out to other organizers of the conference to gauge whether or not participants would actually show.
I actually reached out to Liz, the director of Travel South, and my counterpart, Lee Centel, in Alabama, the Monday after our water issue.
Travel South Executive Director Liz Bittner says she's helped cities and states bounce back after disasters, like the BP oil spill into the Gulf Coast in 2010. Bittner says conference participants didn't express any concerns over the water while in Charleston.
I haven't heard anything from any of my delegates, concerns about the water. Again, you know, we're focused on driving economic development and economic tourism and the business that at hand. All of the hotels, the restaurants, the convention center that we're and the places that we're going use filtered water. They've been tested. It's been cleared by the CDC. And so it's really been a non-issue.
As for the conference itself, hundreds of representatives from 11 states showcased their opportunities to potential travel operators. It's sort of like the tourism industry's version of speed dating.
Do you our city tours or any of the prefams?
I've done a lot of driving around
awesome.
On my own. I'm over at the Four Points.
Okay.
And they couldn't be nicer over
wonderful.
There.
Wonderful. I've heard great things so far. That is fantastic.
Yeah. One of my bags...
Group sales manager Lauren Hunt of the Charleston Convention and Visitors Bureau sat down with general manager of Cars Holidays from upstate New York, Michael Guidi.
New events, new things to do. A lot of them are musical groups, too. So always looking for performance venues, things like that.
Perfect. We have a lot of those.
Guidi's company is looking for destinations to take travel groups from his area, like high school marching bands, to different locations around the United States. Strangely enough, though, he didn't seem concerned with the water in Charleston or even how it might affect his business. In fact, he didn't bring it up until I asked him.
And if you would sort of tell me, and one of the things I noticed about your little conversation with the Charleston CVB is no mention of the water thing that happened here. Any particular reason you didn't bring it up or any concern on your part?
No, not really. Other people have addressed it. So, I mean, for me, it'll be future trips anyway. Trips that'll come won't happen for another year or so. So hopefully it's all addressed by then.
And before you came here, did you have any sort of worry about the situation and what you'd seen on national coverage of it?
A little bit, but, you know, it seems to have been handled. When I checked into the hotel, they were great about it, explained everything. So no fears, no worries.
And would you say that? As for Lauren Hunt of the Charleston CVB, well, she says Guidi's take on Charleston's water is representative of almost all of the operators and travel writers with whom she had met, with one exception.
Actually, I've only had one appointment that's even mentioned it. Everyone's been very supportive and very in our corner. They know it can happen anywhere, and they're just happy to be here. They said it's a great town. We've done a great job.
And what did that one person, you know, what did they say?
She wanted to let me know she packed 5 cases of water, but she hasn't had to use it yet, so she was pretty pleased.
Despite a study that estimates the economic hit to small businesses in Charleston around $61 million, local tourism professionals see the water crisis as a chance to reboot the local economy, like Bill Richardson, who operates Hatfield McCoy and Coal History Tours out of Logan County.
So it's natural. We don't want to focus on negative things. We want these people to come back and add to West Virginia's economy. This spill's already really hurt our economy, and we're trying to do something that's going to have an impact in a year. These people will all come back in next summer with these groups. So we're trying to focus on the positive things because we need this money to make up for all the money we lost because of the spill.
Richardson says he believes the timing of the water crisis in the off-peak winter season might have insulated the tourism economy to some degree. But the question remains as far as what, if any, long-term impression the incident might leave on those looking to travel to the area. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Bob Powell. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. From Morgantown, I'm Ben Aduccio. Good morning.